What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 191 of the PS3 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Izzy.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And here we are. At least there's a few things to actually talk about this time around, unlike the last couple weeks. We can just go through them real quick. It's not like a whole lot. And I don't have a whole lot of time today. It's the little guy's birthday today, so
got to prepare stuff for that.
Yep.
Squee.
So let's see, we can get into new releases. I guess the biggest new release to really talk about is The Witness that came out this week. I have yet to download it. I'll probably wait. I still have stuff to play and I don't have time to play that right now, especially since they say it's going to take like 40-50 hours, so I'm like, I don't have time for that right now.
It's better than Must and Reuben.
We'll see. How far are you in it?
I have no idea.
How much time have you put into it?
I've put in quite a bit, and I thought I was far. And then, like, I had a clicking moment. I'm going to try to not spoil something, but I thought I was far in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then something clicked with how the world works.
Yeah.
And I realized I had a shit ton of stuff to do still. So.
Crap.
I don't know how far I am.
You saw the first green light, and you're like, oh shit, I need way more.
Well, I thought this was like a little indie game or something.
No,
I hadn't really heard of it.
This game is probably, well, it is an indie game. It's by the guy who did Braid, Jonathan Blow. So he did, I don't know if you ever played Braid. I can spoil that in a second, but he did Braid, and then he has been working on this game for like 8 years. And it finally came out, and it's a really simple game. Like, the concept behind it is you solve puzzles on a square grid by drawing a line from point A to point B.
Uh-huh.
So it sounds super, super simple. And then you start playing it, and the puzzles start adding new rules. Like, certain symbols mean certain things, certain sounds mean certain things, and it layers them on top of each other. And the execution is just really good. So the puzzles are fun. They're interesting. When you finally beat one, it's incredibly satisfying. But then I'm wandering through the world, and I noticed something that I didn't realize when I first started playing, and I'm like, oh god, this game is a lot deeper than I thought it was originally.
Because
there's actually like a mystery to the world, sort of like Myst,
yeah.
Which is what I meant to type in text, but was brain fried.
Mm-hmm.
Myst.
Yeah. So the world itself has like its own level of mystery that you're trying to solve, and it's probably like an 80 or 90 hour game. It's a really long game.
If you go for everything, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge game.
Yeah.
It's fun. Well, you should play.
I look forward to watching my friends descend further into madness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to play. I just wanted to play a little Talos Principle last night. On Steam, be like, oh, I should play this because I've had it since like forever, but I haven't done that yet. But yeah, outside of that, that'd be, I guess, the biggest announcement on stuff. So I guess we can just go ahead and jump into the news that there is. The first bit of news we see here is that Drive Club is going to be getting a hard mode in February for those of you who are still playing Drive Club. I have a couple of people, my friends, who play that. And the mode, which is only for the cars, not for the motorcycles at this stage, will be available to use both single player and multiplayer, and you can toggle it. If you toggle hard mode handling on, it will disable traction control, stability control, and other driver assists, and you can do it as both pad or wheel user. So that's interesting to add that in there. Mighty No. 9 suffered a third delay with a long letter of apology. So
he's killing any credibility he had to his name with this, which is kind of a shame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's disappointing.
A lot of people are disappointed about that, but
yeah.
Let's see. Sony also merged a couple of their companies together into one company. They merged their hardware, software, and network divisions all into one. So now Sony Computer Entertainment is Sony Network, and Sony Network have merged into what do they call it? It's like SID.
I think it's Sony Interactive.
Yeah, Sony Interactive. I'm trying to see the official thing. Yeah, Sony Interactive Entertainment. It's led by President Global CEO Andrew House, who went into detail about it. And it makes sense. It's like they announced, like, hey, all this stuff, we have this networking side and this side's like, why don't we just merge them together? It's like, yeah, that do that. And it makes total sense. So
I actually kind of like the new name.
Yeah, but it's going to be weird not seeing SEEA in front of, like, all the games and stuff when they boot up. So I'm guessing when Uncharted comes out, it'll be like, it just won't say it. It'll just say SIE on it. But yeah, let's see what else we got. Capcom confirmed the Umbrella Corps release window, which will be in May of 2016 in North America and Europe. I believe the game is also $30, if I read. Yeah, $30. It's how much it'll cost, and it'll be available sometime around then, which is nice. So that'd be good, because that means when that comes out, I'll have plenty of time to play Uncharted multiplayer, which I'll still play indefinitely, like I do with Last of Us. Then it's like, I wonder how much I'll juggle between three multiplayer games with Rainbow Six, Uncharted, and then depending on how much of Umbrella Corps I play, because I had a lot of fun playing that at PSX. So
we'll yeah, see. It was nice knowing you.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, I only play multiplayer games really at night, like once the kid goes to sleep. So typically, like anywhere from 9:30 to 10 until almost midnight is how much I play. So, like, I'll play some single-player games during the day if it's a day I don't have to pick them up from daycare. But, yeah. Each other IRL. But, sorry, I was talking to someone, like, someone's asking a question in their free company 14 about people. But, anyways, get distracted by that. PlayStation Plus lineup for February has been revealed. The games include Nom Nom Galaxy and Helldivers. The Democracy Strikes Pack will be joined by Grid Autosport and Persona 4 Arena Ultimax for the PS3, as well as Nova 111 and Lemmings Touch for PlayStation Vita. So if you haven't gotten Helldivers, definitely pick that up. That's a fun game. That's a game I wish I played more of. I could go back because I know it's still got a pretty good community, but just not enough time, I guess. Next bit of news here is Activision reportedly developing a new Ghostbusters game for PS4 and Xbox One, supposedly launching alongside the new movie. I mean, it would be interesting. I never did finish the 2009 Ghostbusters. I got pretty far in it, too. And then I got stuck, and then I got distracted by something, some other game. And I always wanted to go back and finish it. You know, because it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was cool having all the original voice actors, having them modeled after each other, you know, just playing around, destroying stuff with your proton pack, seeing that damage rack up. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they do a new one. Although, I'm guessing it would be based on the new Ghostbusters then, so it'd be the all-female cast. But we'll see what happens there. That'd be interesting. And the last bit of news that I have is there's some DLC coming from Metal Gear Online. There's three new maps, and then also Quiet is being added as one of the hero characters you can play as in multiplayer, and that'll be coming in March. That'll be really interesting. Like, I'm curious if Quiet will be able to do her go invisible-ness and move around the map kind of thing.
Run really, really fast and jump really high? I want to do that.
And then the maps they add, they're adding a Rust Palace and Azure Mountain. That's a game I really want to go back and play multiplayer, because the multiplayer on that was just a ton of fun.
I should actually play that.
Yeah, I know. Now that you have Plus, it's like, we should play Metal Gear Online.
The thing is, Metal Gear Online is literally only the part of Metal Gear that I'm bad at, which is just pure combat. So.
Yeah, it sucks, and it's like, when it's single-player games, it's like, oh, I can put them off. But when, like, there's multiplayer games, they have it's like, you can't really, you delay it for too long, and it's like difficult to get into, and you can only juggle so many online games at once. And it's like, I'm having so much fun with Rainbow right now still, and I don't see that going down until Uncharted comes out. It's like, even The Division, it's like, yeah, that'll come out, but I can do single player stuff in that. I don't have to run that multiplayer. And it's like, I'll probably still jump over to Rainbow Six and play some matches every now and then. But It's tough. It's like, yeah, I want to play. It's like I always wanted to play the multiplayer in Assassin's Creed on every one of them, minus the co-op maybe, but like, because it's just so fun. And I want it to be like just a group of friends and then just play the free-for-all mode, because it's just, that game is so fun and tense. Also, someone comes out of nowhere and stabs you in the neck. Just a ton of fun. But other than that, that's basically it for the news. I know the other bit there was is that EA is apparently not going to E3. They're going to do their own EA Plays event thing, I believe, before E3, which is weird. But we'll see what happens. I mean, curious why they're, like, if they're trying to follow the footsteps that Bethesda did and say, like, oh, well, it worked out well for Bethesda. It's like, well, yeah, but Bethesda also doesn't go to E3 typically, because it's like, it's few and far between for their stuff.
And Bethesda makes good games.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, obviously EA has a much larger catalog of stuff they could show. It's like, it's weird that, and also I think that there's an article I read that said everything at EA Play, you can play all the games that are shown. So it's like, if you can play every game that's shown, then they can't really show a new game that's just, they can't just announce a game. It has to make sure it's playable. So it's like, does that limit how much you can reveal? Like, oh, here's a new IP, because then it's like, oh, well, it must be playable to the public. Because typically it's like, it's a hands-off demo, or, you know, one of the developers plays it because it's not a final build, obviously. But you wouldn't want the public to play that.
Yeah.
Even that, it's behind closed doors for the press, and it's like, they can play it, but typically it'll just be the same section they showed on stage. And they might say, you know, oh, it's a little rough, a little choppy, you know, blah, blah, but obviously it's not finished, but it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I know some people were speculating it could be the Amy Hennig Star Wars game, but Visceral was saying that game's a few years off still, which is crazy that it's so far down the line. But then some people were speculating maybe it's tied into one of the franchise movies. Like not the main numbers, but one of the offshoot ones, like how they have like Rogue One, and they're going to have all these young Han Solo movies and all these movies in between, because they're going to have like indefinite Star Wars movies till the end of time or whatever. It could be something like that. But, yeah, that's basically it. Let's see. And it's not bacon. Bacon. Someone's like, very nice, and they're like, making bacon. And then they said to someone else, so-and-so, I'm making you something for when you get out of the dungeon. I'm like, it's not bacon. But
oh, that's depressing.
I was going to make Flash up on some accessories.
Here's some bacon for completing your dungeon.
Nom, nom, nom. I was going to make Flash a bunch of accessories for his paladin, because he has all these low-level ones. But then I looked at it and I was like, well, they're so cheap. It's like, there's no point to make them. And plus, there's higher-level stuff that's cheap that he can buy that I can't make on my goldsmith. So I was like, eh, never mind. It's pointless. Yeah, so I repurchased my subscription to FF and updated
it.
And I'm here. I did a couple quests last night, actually.
What made you dive into Final Fantasy again?
A real-life buddy of mine and his fiance server jumped over to Leviathan. And so I logged into so I could run around and hang with him. Because his job makes him work 7 days a week, essentially, now, because they're a bunch of douchebags. So I never see him anymore. I used to live with him. And then it's like, once I moved out, it became really difficult to actually hang out, and which sucks. And we used to play, like, we used to have weekends off, so we'd play Last of Us all the time. And now it's like, I hardly see the guy. And then, because he works night shifts, so he'll get home from work at like 8, and then he'll stay up to play video games in the morning, then go to sleep and sleep till he goes to work at midnight. So it's like impossible to catch him, unless for some reason he's up before he goes to work, which is super rare, because he'll sleep during the day. So it's impossible to get online with him any time. And because his girlfriend got into 14, because her brother and her brother's fiance or girlfriend or whatever, they were into it. So they dragged her into it. So he joined them. But then he didn't want to be on that server they were on. He wanted to be on Leviathan, because that's where all the people he knows are. So then they finally jumped and I logged in to hang out. And since it's early morning today, he'll be up for a while. And then I can chat with him. Brought him into the free company. But yeah, I did a few quests last night, and then I got attacked by a bat at one point. A bat cat.
What?
When
Gilly kittens!
Yeah, when
is that a thing now?
Yeah, it's a bat with a cat head.
Okay.
No, they're kitties and they have little flying vests.
Okay, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I just call them cat bats. But we talked about this way back when 3.0 first came out, because at least I thought I did. Maybe it was just my free company. But like, I got attacked by one and I almost died because I hadn't fought. Like, I knew my rotations, but I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I just made plus I had fallen down. Like, I jumped off a large ledge, so my health was super low when he was attacking me. But I was like, I hope I don't get killed by a cat bat. But I mean, it's fun. It'll be the one thing that sucks though is that you can't log into FF without being signed into PSN. So I can't like keep it logged in while I'm playing Rainbow Six Siege. On my other PS, like if I logged in on my other PS4, because it's like, nope, you can't. And I can't create a separate PSN and then log into mine because it's linked to your PSN ID. And I was like, ugh. But that's the only annoying part. It's like, can't play online games. I can play single player. Sure, no problem. But can't do online. And it's like, man, kind of sucks. Because really, I just want, like, I won't even necessarily play a whole lot. I'll just do quests when I can, but it's like, I want to just keep it open just for the social aspect, mainly right now. Chat, maybe if I have a moment to do a dungeon, I'll do a dungeon, but... Yeah, I still have so much story stuff I gotta do.
Oh, yeah.
Does this mean I need to go resubscribe now?
I guess, if you want. I mean, it's up to you. You're playing The Witness, so you'll be stuck in that for a million years.
Or, I'll just be brilliant. But are you trying to keep me stuck in The Witness?
Yes, you're gonna be stuck on that island.
Morbid. Or I'll just be brilliant and I'll solve it very quickly and then I'll be done with this in like a week. But we'll see.
But, aside from that, just playing. Sucks, I was wanting to play some StarCraft yesterday. I only played a couple matches, but like the ladder's locked down, so can't really advance up the ladder. So I gotta wait till the ladder unlocks. I'll probably play some more this weekend, but. Always kind of sucks when the ladder gets locked down. But, other than that, not much. What are you playing right now, Zai?
I've been working on my Relic on 14. This 3.2 comes out next month. So, I want, and they're changing around how they do tombstones. So, I'm trying to cap out my tombstones as much as possible and buy the stuff with it now. And then when they change it all around, I can just start fresh, basically, and not worry about it. But
why are they making it more difficult? Or
no, they're getting rid of soldiery entirely. I think they're getting rid of law tomes too, and just converting everything into esoterics. And then they're introducing the lore tombstones.
So poetics are going to go away too.
Poetics are already gone, I think.
Oh, I have some. I guess I have to turn them in then.
You might have to just turn them in, because I don't think you can use them. You can only use the soldiery ones.
So I have soldiery, so you'd have to poetics, and then the new ones, the law, and the esoterics. I hate that they do that double currency thing.
They're basically in 3.2, they're wiping out all of the previous tombstones, so they're back to just having the uncapped and then the weekly cap one, rather than like three different tombstones that you can get. So
they still do allied seal stuff?
I think you can turn in allied seals for relic pieces, like items that you need for the last relic step right now. But they made it so that there's a bunch of different ways to get items. You can either do beastman dailies and collect currency from that. You can do allied. You can do law tomes, but it takes like 1800 law tomes per like piece of relic thing. So there's a bunch of different ways you can do it. But yeah, allied seals I think you can use to get relic items. I'm not 100% sure, though. That might be the Centurio seals. I don't know. I'm not at that step yet, so I haven't even looked at it. Because if I look at it, I'm just going to get depressed and not work on my relic anymore.
Yes. You know how when you zone into an area and the screen's black and it says the name of the zone, and the text does that slow zoom, like gets bigger? Slowly. I hate that because it's so slow that I don't know if I'm just imagining it or if it's actually getting bigger on the screen, because it doesn't do it fast enough to really notice. And then there's no, except for the chat window, there's nothing for me to compare it against for a frame of reference. But then I feel like once I start to try to compare, it stops. And I'm like, are you just fucking with me? But for the longest
I do hate that it's really slow, because for some reason, ever since Heavensward came out, sometimes my loading screens freeze. So it's hard for me to tell if my loading screen is frozen or if it's just like slowly zooming and kind of like stuttering every now and then.
It does stop at a certain point. Like it stops. But it's that between when you go to, like, it's getting bigger, right? I'm not just imagining this. Because it also has that glow around the text, which really fucks with it as well. I'm like, oh, I hate this.
I don't know. I wish they would just show like a picture, like the concept art for the zone, like they do when you log in. I wish they would show that when you zone rather than just like the blank screen. But
Oh well.
You know how you can tell if you're crazy? If you start hearing a cat meowing in the kitchen.
Listen.
But it's not really a cat. It's really you.
Why it is my cat.
Why are you
it's
meowing?
It's being a turd.
It's not really a cat.
I'm not convinced it wasn't just Zaya standing in the kitchen.
I didn't get that little sleep. I am aware. I'm just tired.
I am aware. Let's see. What have you been playing? Just The Witness, Isley?
Witness and Rocksmith, mostly. Yeah. Still enjoying both of them. They kind of balance off each other. When my brain is fried, I switch over to Rocksmith. And when my hands are tired, I go back to The Witness.
Yeah, pen and pad for The Witness. So you can...
I do. I have a spiral notebook next to me, and it's the first time I've like bought a new spiral notebook in a long time, and it's filled of puzzles. I even have one of the puzzles has you have to arrange essentially like Tetris pieces with the line you're drawing. Mm-hmm. So I have little like Tetris pieces that I cut out and color coded so that I can use them for the game.
That's fine. Yeah, I've seen
that's
people.
That's one of the best parts about it is it's brought back the old, it's a puzzle game where you want the pen and paper sitting next to you to jot down notes and shit.
Yeah,
I've seen people like they have Photoshop and they just have layers of different stuff and they can overlay, they can put layers over each other to look at different things.
Oh yeah.
It's funny.
I think the only downside though is this game must be really fucking boring to watch on a stream.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt
it. Oh, maybe. I guess it depends on how engaging the person is.
I don't know. I've watched some pretty engaging people play this game on stream, and I had to turn it off after like 10 minutes.
It's like watching someone play Portal. It's like, their solution is right there.
Well, Portal is fun because most people just speedrun it now, so you get to see cool glitches.
But I just mean but you're specifically watching a speedrun. If there was a speedrun for The Witness right now, it'd be the same thing. You'd just be instant. But there's not because it hasn't been established. Whereas in the beginning of Portal, it's just people streaming, hey, let's play Portal. And then they don't know how to do a puzzle that you've solved quicker. It's like, it's right in front of your face, man. I don't like watching people
struggle.
Struggle. It's like, it's not entertaining for me. It's like, this is boring. Why am I watching this?
Well, the other thing is, a lot of the stuff on this game, you're either doing off screen in your spiral notebook or you're doing like your head. It's not like a trial and error game.
Right.
So there's going to be instances where you're staring at a screen and, you know, the person is looking at the same thing for 10 minutes while he's got something in his lap that he's working out.
Yeah, or thinking about it in his head, but yeah. I definitely want to give it a play at some point. Like I said, just that when I found out how long it was, I was like, well, I definitely don't have time for that right now. Because I want to, like, play it and then take a break for some reason and then be like, okay, wait, hold on, where am I in this world? Okay, which mechanics did I learn? Okay, let's go back. Now I have to keep a notebook because I keep going away. It's like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I want it in my head. I played over a weekend. but, yeah, other than that, I don't know what else there is in the way of to talk about. Did Darkest Dungeon come out?
I've been watching somebody play it, but I don't know if it came out this week or...
There was an interview on a couple of podcasts that do for people interviewing about Darkest Dungeon, and they were talking about it, but I skipped over it because I was like, I didn't want to hear at the time. It was like it was a game I'm not super interested in at the time. Or it's like, I was like, oh, I'll just skip this and then I'll worry about it later. But is Darkest Dungeon, that's not the one. So I'm thinking of a different one.
It's the Insanity game. It's the like side
it's Dark Souls,
dungeon
the RPG.
Crawler.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Yeah. What else is there? I know the beta for The Division is going on right now, which I guess they had so many people. So I signed up for the get a chance to be in the beta without having to pre-order, but it's like there's so much interest in this in the beta that we couldn't get everybody in, so you're kind of on a wait list. But it's only this weekend, so I don't know how I'm going to get in there. It's also like I'm curious how many people pre-ordered and then maybe cancel their pre-order, but just to play the beta. But there's a lot of people on my friends list right now playing the beta, especially people who would play Rainbow Six Siege or playing are in the beta right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Let's see. Oh, I wanted to. You didn't remind me of my anime.
Oh well, now I can remind you about Missionary at least.
Oh, Missionary. Okay, sounds like anime. So I was watching the Team Four Star re-released in bundles the 5 episodes of Hellsing Abridged that they did way back in the day, and I just watched it for the first time. And goddamn, the fucking the Team Four Star Bridge for Hellsing Ultimate is so good. It's so quotable, and so I've watched it like 4 times. It's so funny. But I've only ever watched the first 4 episodes of the OVA because it took so goddamn long to release the DVDs. So I only watched episode 4. So then I went on and I realized there was a channel on YouTube to watch the entire series. So I watched the rest of it. I just finished the whole thing the other day. But that anime does this thing where it happens in a lot of anime, but I felt like it was super prevalent in this one. It could just be the style and the way this person like do it. But it's where when they draw people, it's not really a profile or a 3/4 shot of their face. It's kind of in between. But then when they do that, when they talk, the teeth are inside like the drawing of the face. So when they talk, and where traditionally you would be able to see through the mouth to the other side, you know, where, you know, your lips open, you know what I mean? Like, it's blocked off. Like, the teeth are like an enclosed space, it looks like, just the way they draw it. And it's a common technique I see in a lot of anime, but it's something that always kind of drives me crazy. I'm like, because that's not how it works in real life. And so when I see that, I'm like, it always looks kind of weird. And, like, it's fine when it's just a couple times, but then it's like, in that one, it's they do it a bunch, and I'm like, there's so much of this. It always looks really strange to me. but yeah, The Hellsing Abridged is fucking great. And then I finished watching the series. It was good. That was short, being only 10 episodes. I mean, I don't know how long the manga ran for, but I was like, damn, this is over pretty quick. I didn't expect that.
I feel like most anime nowadays is just one season because they've really embraced the, like, you know, either a 13-episode run or, like, a 26-episode run over 2 seasons.
Yeah, but this is, like, I mean, I felt like, I guess the last anime I watched was Death Note, and that went on for a long time. And those were hour episodes, weren't they?
Oh, God, I don't remember. I don't think they were. I think they were, like, 20-minute episodes.
Were they 20-minute? I thought they were longer. Maybe they were. No. But, yeah, because these are 40 minutes long, the Hellsing one, because it's basically 2 episodes in one. So I guess that's fine. But it seemed like it moved super quick. Like, it didn't really establish. I felt like there was no. It was like, you just start instantly with him strolling to the park or some place. He finds Sarah's Victoria. She becomes a vampire. And then they fight. 2 dudes attack the headquarters. They fight them. Then he goes to Brazil. Then he goes on the boat to fight Rip Van Winkle, and then he gets stuck on the boat, and the Nazis invade London. And I'm like, it's just not a lot happened, or a lot happens in a short amount of time, but like, I feel like they really trimmed on the backstory. Like, I felt like it was an anime that was really for the people who love the manga. Like, you know, there's a lot more that they would get because they were like, maybe there's more backstory on these characters in there versus the TV show. Because, like, Cowboy Bebop, it's a half-hour episodes, but it's, like, and they have some filler stuff like not monster of the week, but like bad guy of the week, I guess. But they have episodes that flesh out the story. So you learn about characters. You learn about, you know, Spike, Julia, Vicious. You know, you learn who the Syndicate is. You know, you have a whole episode all about Jet, his story, his backstory, not just what you see with him interacting with Spike. You have Faye. You have Edward. You have all that stuff. It's like there's a lot there. Like, you can learn a lot about these. It's like, I feel like this is like, well, I know some, but it just seems like it's all happening so fast. I'm just watching this, like, there's this giant history of Helsing, and they just took a chunk and said, okay, we're going to tell the story, this story here. And, like, they just cut that bit out. Like, there you go. That's how I felt like it was. I mean, I enjoyed it still, but that's just how I felt about it. Because, I mean, it's not like the first 13 episodes of the original series. I mean, obviously, because it got cut and they had to quickly end it. I guess that one kind of could have been the same, where it kind of just starts off and, but then they speed up that because, like, oh, we don't want to fund you anymore. Wrap up your series. And all of a sudden, bad guy gets introduced out of nowhere. And then, no, I was always weird about that anime. 13 episodes, but, which is then was kind of annoying when Ultimate came out, because in the first three episodes of Ultimate, we're essentially just retelling the first couple episodes of the original. So it's like, well, I know what's going to happen because this is all what happened in the original run. But yeah, the Ultimate Abridged is fantastic. And I'm really hoping they do the next episode soon. They said it's supposed to come out pretty soon, but it's so good. That must be so hard to do, too, because you gotta write it, and then you have to cut it and manipulate the scenes just the way you want them. But it's gotta be the writing's gotta be the toughest part, especially write stuff that's funny. But man, playing Rainbow Six just makes me wish there was a Rainbow Six Siege Friends, like Battlefield Friends. I wrote an episode the other day when I was talking to my cousin, like saying this is how the episode got. Like, it was like the script of the episode, and I was like, I really wanted to see that happen. I was like, oh, I want to see this happen.
You should make it one. Make it so.
Oh God, yeah, right. Because then
start
I have to
on YouTube channel.
I have to animate, and it's like then you have to, like, I have the writing down, sure, but then you have the voice, you have to animate. I don't have time for all that. That's gotta take forever.
First, you pass up your dream of being a pro StarCraft player, and now you won't do this. Man, what's up lately?
Okay.
It's been super depressing.
They all take time. It's like, if I wanted to be a pro player, I'd have to quit my job, move to Korea, or just play on the Korean server, and then just play like 12 hours a day, and it'd become a full-time job. And then that's even if I could.
Yeah, but we would cheer you on, and it would be awesome.
That'd be tough. I don't think
he's living in his little one-bedroom studio closet in Korea with no money, trying to become a StarCraft professional player.
But I got super high speed internet. If I knew people could animate and had time, it'd be funny to do. But the problem is, like, Battlefield Friends also does things where it's like the episodes are commentary on what could be wrong with the game. Like, maybe there's an exploit that people are using, or there's an unbalanced weapon, or there's something that's OP about it. So that's what makes it funny, is they're talking about, you know, what's funky in the game, or changes that were made that seem overpowered. Whereas in Rainbow Six, it's like there's a lot of balance, so it's really tough to, like, come up with an entire series on what to do. Like, it would just basically be talking about shitty teammates who don't do stuff properly, I guess. Like, I suppose your episode would just be about the most ridiculous matches you've ever had in the game, be it you witnessed something or it happened on your team, like just some noobs doing something who don't know how to play. I can see that happening.
If you don't want to animate it, I think you should just act it out with your kid then.
With my kid.
Just dress him up in like various costumes and use him as your animation tool.
If I could put up like a private match and then have like a spectator and film it machinima style, I could do it that way and just use the character models, but they don't really bob their heads, so that'd be tough to do. But you could do that. But yeah. What else? Oh, the missionary thing. So I had got these pegboards for Christmas to hang up some of my airsoft guns. Because I've been wanting to get some pegboards, because, like, I have so many, they don't make gun racks or like floor racks that are big enough. Like, I need a pegboard so I can hang them on the wall. And so the way I have it just saves space as well. So I have like the perfect wall form is, you know, I have my TV in front of me. There's a wall behind that. And then I have a bookcase with all my video games on it. And then there's some negative space next to that. So I have them up above, kind of a little bit over the books, the bookshelf, and then above there. And I have these two panels, and I have a couple. Right now there's only 5 guns on it, but I can't fit all of them on there. I also ran out of the stupid pegs. That's so annoying. Like, the worst part about hanging stuff is like, oh, here's an assorted box of pegs. And it's like, well, half of these don't work for shit to hang up guns. Like, yeah, if you want to hang up tools, sure. But I'm trying to hang up these airsoft guns, so a lot of the shit doesn't work. So I only have a couple up there. I need to buy some other pegs. But anyways, I have it up there, and it's nice, and it looks good. I'm happy. I'm like, oh, finally got these organized. So I'm not quite used to it being there. Like, I see it there, but I'm just not super used to it. Anyways, the other day, I get a knock on my door, and we were watching something on Hulu. And I'm like, well, I'm knocking on the door. Like, did you order food? I didn't order anything. So I get up, and I open the door, and it's these two, like, 17-year-old girls from this local missionary. And they're like, hi, yeah, we're going around. Like, one girl's telling me this. She's like, hi, yeah, we're going around the neighborhood just seeing for a blah, blah, blah missionary. You know, it's just seeing if anybody needs our help with anything. You know, kind of like that. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't really need any help. But while this girl is telling me something, I notice the other girl on to her right is like, her face kind of changed, like from a smile to kind of like a blank. And then she just kind of goes, oh, and like under her breath. But I don't know what she's doing. I'm like, well, they can't see my tattoos because my arms aren't up. So they're not like saying, oh, to that. And I was confused as shit. It's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And then, you know, they leave. They say, okay, thanks. And they leave. Close the door and go back to watch my show. And then, like, a couple hours later, I'm walking around the house and I realize, oh, that's right. The wall where I have my pegboards is in direct line of sight to the front door of the apartment. So, of course, I open the door and right behind me is, you know, 3 rifles, 2 submachine guns, and there's only an orange tip on one of them. So it's like, there's a lot of guns in this guy's house.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, it was just really funny. I was like, I guess they got really scared. I mean, if I don't open the door all the way and just like partially, it won't matter. But
yes, because you look very intimidating. Mm-hmm. Could be a crazy person
with a bunch of guns. Oh, hey, crazy person won't organize their firearms.
You should
on the wall
that
in plain view of the fort front door.
Well, now you've learned something. Now you've learned maybe that's not the best spot to keep them.
Well, it's the only
that's
spot
fine.
To put them. It's fine. I'm leaving it there. I'm not going to take it down. It's I have orange tips I could put on all of them. I just take off like the shotgun I have up there. It has an orange. The barrel has the orange band around it, but I have a barrel cover on it, so that blocks it. My one M4 has the orange tip, and then my other M4 doesn't. But I took that off and put on a black one. But I can put the orange one back on. I can do the same thing for my 2 SMGs. I can just put the orange tips back on those. But I take all my orange tips off. Because it's fucking stupid. I'm not playing with an orange tip, bright orange tip in my gun. And I'm not making them California compliant either with SB 199. That's stupid.
What is California compliant?
So they just passed a new law that went into effect this year where now when any gun that's sold, any... any replica or BB gun that shoots pellets or anything that looks like a real gun, it has to have the federal orange tip, and then it has to have 2 of 3 bands, either a bright fluorescent colored band around the pistol grip, if it's a rifle, the stock of the rifle, or the magazine of the rifle. And then if it's a pistol, the trigger guard has to be... have the orange fluorescent tape all around the trigger guard plus the grip, and then that's it. But it's like, so if you go to buy one, you can look at like Big 5 or you know, they Big 5 Sporting Goods, they sell like the cheapo airsoft guns for like that are actually for kids, and you can see they have like the color bands on them. So if I were to buy a gun from a supplier in or outside California, when they ship it to me, it has to have all that tape on it. I can take that tape off. But that tape is supposed to be on when you're in public. That way it's to stop kids from getting shot by police officers because kids are fucking stupid and they're not supposed to take airsoft guns out in public. So fucking dumb.
True statement. Kids are fucking stupid.
Yeah. Well, it's like, because we had in Santa Rosa, we had this big thing. you wouldn't have heard about it because in California, but it was the Andy Lopez shooting from, I think, 2013. It was like this Hispanic kid, was like 13 or whatever, was walking around with his AK airsoft gun in public, and like a police officer like said something to the kid. Like he said, you know, he pulled over and he said like, hey, you know, hey to the kid, you know, and he told him like, hey, can you put that down or something. But the kid had headphones in, I guess, so he didn't quite hear him. So then the kid turns around and faces the police officer, but then the police officer kind of fears for his life, like his safety, so he shot at the kid, and the kid ended up dying. But it's like the AK he had, it's like, I don't know if they showed it. I don't remember if his had the orange tip on it, but it's like, regardless, you don't walk around with airsoft guns out in the public. It's, you don't do that. You don't do that with real guns either. You put them in a carrying case and do it that way.
You Plus, can't even legally do that with real guns. There's yeah. no open carry in California. It's exactly, all closed exactly. carry yeah. or concealed carry.
Precisely. It was just so fun. It's like, yeah, obviously the cop shouldn't have shot him, but it's like when you think someone has an AK-47 and it was like in an area where there are kind of a lot of gang activity in the Hispanic community. It's like, I guess, plus he's a war vet as well. So he probably could have a little bit of that stress from that as well. You know, AKs being the most popular weapon in the world, amongst terrorists as well. So it's like, you know, that could be a factor in it as well. But there was like this huge outcry about, you know, oh, you know, police guns. Like, yeah, it's sad that the kid died. But then I'm like, yeah, but the kid was doing something that was fucking stupid. And airsoft guns are 18 or older. They're not for kids. That's why I take off my orange tips. Because orange tips originally are for child's toys. And I don't consider these child's toys. So I take off all my orange tips as well because, one, I'm not a child. And I know how to transport my weapons properly.
You're not carrying them around on your shoulder as you go to the airsoft range.
Exactly. Even if I didn't have a case for one and I was carrying it from my car to my house, I wrap it in something. It's like if I don't have something to carry it in, then I cover it. I wrap it up, which is only old. I have cases now, but back in the day, it's like because I hadn't played for it, I didn't have any updated cases. But it's just, it was stupid. So then they do this to try to like hopefully stop accidental shootings of kids who walk around in public with airsoft weapons. And then,
meanwhile, like four more kids have been shot in the same situation so far.
And it's like,
since then,
you can take the tape off too. It's not like it's permanent, but it's whatever. And then Massachusetts yeah. tried to pass a law. It failed, but it essentially would have required a plug for any sort of replica. And airsoft guns are under their law, airsoft guns, because they're essentially one-to-one replicas, they'd be considered that. Replica guns have to have a plug in the end of the gun, effectively making the gun not an airsoft gun because you can't shoot with a fucking plug in the end of it. So it's like, and it was going to be a mandatory kind of thing that comes like, oh, well, it's only replica, I got a plug in that barrel. So, but it failed to pass, luckily, but if I were to buy a new gun, I just take it off right when I get it. I'm not going to put it on, but it's so stupid.
Yay, California.
Yay.
But yeah, you guys should move somewhere else.
No, nah, I'm not moving. I still like it here. It's just...
My dad wants to move to New Mexico because he wants more guns.
He wants more guns?
New Mexico. Well, he's from New Mexico.
Aren't there tarantulas that go on migration in Mexico, or is that Arizona?
Yeah,
you can't... If it is New Mexico, I'm very angry that nobody told me that before I went to New Mexico.
Yeah, you ever seen those pictures?
Like... Yeah, there's huge fucking...
No, bugs. I've never seen those pictures.
Of course not. I'm going to look this up.
I'm going to pull one. I won't send it. But
tarantula migration.
No!
There's one in Mount Diablo, but that Arizona, New Mexico. There we go. Okay, New Mexico. Tarantula migration, when? New Mexico. Tarantulas.
Oh, that's kind of terrifying. That is terrifying. Yeah, big hairy male tarantulas are on the move this time of year in northern New Mexico.
Here's a video posted on September 30th, 2013. On the news talking about on the move.
Well, Zaya's never going there again.
I think it's only in like certain spots.
Sorry, Grandma, I'm never coming to visit you ever again.
Yeah. And they like cross highways because they're stupid. And it's like, that's gotta suck. Like the random vehicle goes by and just runs over a bunch of them. They're like, shit, dude, Frank just died. I called dibs on his mate. No, but I saw this picture of like someplace. It was like a, it was called the Red Crab Migration, and it was just these tiny little crab, and they're like these red little crab, and they're all migrating across like this back porch of someone's house or something like that. I was like, I wonder how that feel though if you like stood there and they just kept crawling over your feet.
That's why.
Well, they're just, they're tiny little crabs. There's nothing to fear about a tiny little crab. I have less fear of a crab than I do of a scorpion or spider.
Yeah.
Like a crab, I can pick up a crab.
I would watch crabs migrate because they do it sideways and that's adorable.
Yeah, I can pick up a crab and he ain't going to pick up. Granted, you can pick up a spider probably and a scorpion by the tail and they're not going to get you. But it's like, I'm not going to do that because I'm like, if I fuck up, well, then I'm screwed. Like if I get pinched by a crab, it's like a little crab, that's nothing. I get bit by a spider or stabbed by a scorpion. I'm like, well, this could be bad.
This is the end. No, goodbye. My dad used to have pet tarantulas, so I guess that's why he wants to live in New Mexico.
I guess.
He could just collecting them, and he can so do that. So you'd
never be able to visit him ever again, then?
No. I would never.
Pet tarantulas. I don't know if that explains your fear of spiders or not, but it might.
No, he never had it when... It was when he lived in New Mexico when he was younger, and then... he got rid of it long before he even met my mom.
Oh god, this video of tarantulas is terrifying. This is why the South sucks. This is like, whenever people ask me why I prefer cold weather, I'm like, cold weather kills off bugs. And they're like, bugs aren't that bad. This is why. Giant
lasers. I have seen that town in Brazil.
Yeah, with the...
That has like the spiders and the power lines and stuff.
The trees, yeah. So diggers, because they.
But it was just a picture of like the webbing up in the power lines, and I was like, hell no! I will burn that town to the ground.
There's one of my favorite pictures. It's you've probably never seen it just because it's spider related. I don't want to update my software. Stop asking me. I'll do it later. It's a picture. It's an old picture. It's like one of the first pictures on my phone. It's a where it's like it's two cars that are abandoned, and in between them is like 1,000 garden spiders, like that just have webs in between the two cars, and there's just a shit ton of them. And the joke's always, "Would you get pushed into this for $1 million?"
Oh, like, no, I've seen that before.
Yeah, that's
it's
fucking,
like the abandoned cars.
Yeah, the two cars. It's like a close up between the cars, and they're just got the webs in between them. It's like, no, I wouldn't fucking get. Pushing that, like, because that picture, anytime I have dreams that are lucid, I'm always like, damn it, there's a tree, that means there's gonna be fucking spiders or where. And there's like, of course, there's like this fucking maze of spiders and spiders I have to navigate through to get like through this yard or something. I'm like, I hate this. This is annoying. It's the worst. But yeah,
gross.
But yeah,
I have a bone to pick with my father now that he didn't tell me that there was a migration was possible when we were visiting. Of course, we went in March. So
yeah, they might not be, I mean, yeah, that could be too cold.
That's when they're hibernating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like it's,
well, there was still snow on the mountain, so.
Yeah, I think the March is only in, I think, at least the majority of times I see like the migration, it's always in like a flat desert area that they go across, so it's not like they're going through the city.
I can't imagine, because we went to, my grandparents live in Albuquerque, mm-hmm. and they live on the outside of Albuquerque, kind of near the mountain, but Albuquerque is like a giant city, so I can't imagine they see a whole lot of like,
no.
This dreaded migration of doom.
They wouldn't. It's got to be like in the more desolate areas where there's like nobody out there. Like, there's a highway you could get through it, but
yeah. There's like a giant desert and just like flat highway right before you get to Albuquerque coming from Arizona. So I imagine that's where it is.
Yeah, there's a, at Mount Diablo, there's a, of course, there's tarantulas at Mount Diablo. But let's see. I'm trying to read this. Tarantula movement begins early on Mount Diablo. Giant spiders crawling across the East Bay. This is in August. let's see. Mount Diablo. The annual tarantula mating ritual began early on the East Bay's Mount Diablo, sending the giant hairy spider skidding across roads and meadows in search for a willing partner. Blah, blah. So they're usually seen in September or October, but they started early this year. This is just in California. Stop with the commercial. And, let's see.
That is apocalyptic.
Just don't go to Mount Diablo.
I have absolutely no interest in doing so now.
The Devil Mountain. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. Nope. We need a cigarette. I kind of wanted to do a 20 questions, but it's already 50 minutes long in the podcast.
The worst thing we have here is bears.
We have bears here, too. Not a lot.
I would rather face bears.
Mountain lions mainly. Don't hear a whole lot about bears unless they're way north. But mountain lions, bobcats.
There was a bobcat in my town the other day.
Potato bugs.
Well, I think it was last week, but it was just wandering around somebody's patio.
Just chilling.
Yeah, just kind of hanging out, waiting for something to come out for it to eat.
I remember we used to have a Siamese cat, and he'd always get in fights with the raccoons.
Yeah, cats probably can't win fights with raccoons.
Siamese cats can.
Can they?
Yeah. Siamese cats, they're pretty vicious.
Are they the badass type of cat?
They're badass cats.
Like, of all the cats, they're the badass ones?
Yeah, they're Siamese, man.
Okay.
They know kung fu. No, just, I believe out of all the cat breeds, the Siamese are probably the most vicious. At least this one, obviously he'd come back with, like, you know, cuts and stuff, but he'd go toe-to-toe with raccoons.
Like, learning all this new shit.
Damn, man. The only thing I know about Siamese cats is from Lady and the Tramp. They are Siamese, if you please.
That movie kicks ass, so...
Siamese cats have a genetic disposition to lose their teeth, so that's all I know about Siamese cats.
Why?
Because all of my Siamese cats have no teeth.
I'm going to get rid of these teeth in an animal.
You have toothless cats?
Yeah, well, my oldest cat, Tiger, they're strays that we took in, so they're...
You still have strays. These cats?
One of them. Like, Tiger, he's going to be 19 this year. He's an old-ass cat. But he has no teeth because Siamese have a recessive gene that they have mouth problems. And when you start, like, inbreeding Siamese cats, their teeth just kind of fall out. So, like, we took in a whole litter of Siamese cats that got left on our back porch a long time ago, and all of them, their teeth fell out. It was very sad, but kind of funny, because they're just, like, gummy kitty mouth.
Have you ever seen the movie How to Train Your Dragon?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can you get a cat that looks like Toothless and name him Toothless, and then when he actually becomes Toothless, it would be brilliant?
Maybe. There's a lot of, like, black kittens out side right now, so if any of them lose their teeth, I will take them in and name them Toothless.
Do you just, like, go outside and collect stray cats?
I wish. Every time I go out, because a lot of them are scared of people still because they live outside, and they come up to the porch because I put food out for them. But a lot of them kind of grow on you and they get used to you, and a few of them will come up and let me pet them. So it's like every time they come up and I pet them, I'm like, look, it's letting me pet it. And everybody has to tell me no because I want to bring it inside and let it live a life of luxury and warmth in the house. But at one point we had like 9 cats in the house because we took in a whole litter.
Whoa. Oh, geez.
And so they were like, no more, not ever again. Because it was just like, there was cat hair. We were cleaning litter boxes like 2 or 3 times a day. It was all...
When'd you get carpet installed? Oh, we didn't. It's cat hair.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm restricted to 2 right now. But that might change if that little black kitten wants to come inside.
You're restricted to 2.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, what are they going to do if the cat comes inside and I'm like, he wanted to come in, he doesn't feel good, I need to take care of it?
Uh,
But if a person walks
I in, say that and just like the yeah, cats that I own.
That's what I was thinking about. I'm thinking like, I'm thinking Zaya handling a homeless person or something. What do I want to do? He wanted to come inside really badly.
No. There was a cat outside that I ended up taking in because he got really, really sick and he was old. So I took him in for like a couple of days and let him pass away in here because it was cold outside. But he would always try to walk in the house and he just didn't care. Like if I opened the door to put food out for them, he would walk into the house. And I'm like, you can't. I'm going to get in trouble. No.
It's fine.
God, you remind me of my friend. She went to a bus stop once and she met a homeless guy there. And he's like, you could sit down next to me. I swear I'm not dangerous. And she did. And I'm like, you never sit next to someone who says they're not dangerous. It's like a rule. If someone says they're not dangerous, it usually means they are. You're going to be like staring at like some vicious animal someday or something. Like you're going to meet a tiger or like a snow leopard. And you're going to be like, snow leopard, look at the tail. You're gonna, like,
I'm
going to
be that lady on the news that lives with a tiger because it wandered, or like a mountain lion because it wandered in the house. And I'm like, it just comes by every now and then and hangs out for a little bit. I feed
you're
it.
You're going to be like that grandma on the news that woke up with a kinkajou on her chest. And you're just going to wake up one day with like a leopard on your chest, just like chilling there sleeping.
I'd be like, kitty!
If it's cold outside for you, it's cold outside for them.
Exactly.
I like, and then people turn that around and do that for spiders as well. That's funny.
Nope. But they can go outside and freeze.
All right, we need a secret word. Last time it was baby pranks.
Baby pranks.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby pranks. We need one for this time around. What's it gonna
What's
be?
This time?
Messiah. Kitty. I chose it last time.
Kitty?
Kitty.
All right, simple enough, kitty. There we go, secret word. All righty. Well, I guess I'll wrap it up. Actually, it's been longer than expected. So thank you all for tuning and listening. Thank you, Isley, and thank you, Zaya.
Uh-huh.
And we will see you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.